Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Chagiga Daf Yud Gimel. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur 9 lines from the top of Daf Yud Gimel. We open with a Tanaic source that features a discussion concerning Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylonia, whose infamy is associated with the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, who claimed that he was going to war with the Almighty, that he was going to climb heavenwards and be a godlike figure. What response did that draw? So now the Gemara. Omar Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Ma tshuva heshivosoi baskol, what response did the heavenly voice answer La'oisoi Rosha to that wicked man, Nebuchadnezzar, B'sho'o she'omar, when he said, A'ale albom se'av adame le'elyon, I'm going to rise up on the clouds and appear like the master of all. Yotso baskol v'omro lo'i, the heavenly voice came and answered him, Rosha ben benoi shel nimrod ha'rosha, you evil man, the descendant of an evil man who descends from Nimrod the wicked, shehimrid es kol ha'olam kuloi olov b'malchuso, who was responsible for a worldwide rebellion against the Almighty. Kamosh noisov shel odom, how long does a person live? 70 shana. Life expectancy is approximately 70 years. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, Yemei Shnoiseinu Bohem, 70 shana. Man's life is generally 70 years, Vim Bigvuros, and if he has strength, then 80 shana. Vahalo Min Ha'aretz Ad L'Rakia. Now, Nebuchadnezzar said he was going to go heavenwards. So now let's calculate. From the land till the heavens, Mahalech Chomesh Meos Shana. That's a distance of 500 years. The Uvioi Shalrokia Mahalech Chomesh Meos Shana. And the thickness of the Rokia requires 500 years to transverse. The Chain Bein Kol Rokia Rokia. And likewise, between each one of the heavens. In our previous year, we saw reference made to 7 heavens. Lamala mehen chayas hakodesh. Above them are the holy beings, spiritual holy beings. The ragle hachayas keneged kulam, and the legs, the distance of the legs is equal to everything before that. The karsule hachayas keneged kulan, and the ankles of the chayos is as great as everything beforehand. The Shoke Hachayos Keneged Kulon, and the legs of the Chayos correspond distance wise to everything beforehand. Ruchuve Hachayos, the Keneged Kulon, the Ruchuve as the joints of the legs. That's the what Rashi says, the Etzem Hayerech, the knees. Sometimes you see the term Arkuva. Is the distance there is keneged kulan. The yarche, the yerech, the shok before would be the calf. Here we are dealing with the thighs of the chayos keneged kulan. The gufei hachayos keneged kulan. The bodies of the chayos correspond to all that what preceded them. Tzavorei hachayos keneged kulan. And the necks of the chayos keneged kulan. Roshei hachayos keneged kulan. The heads of the chayos correspond to everything beforehand. Karnei hachayos keneged kulan, and the horns of the chayos correspond to everything beforehand. Lamalo mehen kisei hakovod, kisei kovod, and above them is the holy throne. Viragle kisei hakovod keneged kulam. The legs of the holy throne are keneged kulam. Vekisei hakovod keneged kulam. Ulamalo mehen, and above the holy throne itself, melech kel chai vekayom rom venisaw. There is the Almighty Living God who is so lofty, Shochein Aleim, and He dwells upon all that we mentioned. And of course, if you take the statistics that we have, you'll see many, many zeros following the original number. Many, many years, many, many more years than a mere mortal will ever live. The Ato Amarta, and you said in your haughtiness, in your brazenness, Ele albomo se'av adamel edamel elyon, achel sheol turad el yakese bor. You said you're going to rise to the lofty clouds and be like the one above. No, sir, you're going to go down into the depths of the pit. The Gemara continues with a quote from the Mishnah, where we were taught that in terms of restrictions concerning numbers of people you can teach, v'lo b'merkava b'yochid, and you don't teach the Maisa Merkava to even an individual. Toni Rabbi Chia, avol moisin l'roshe prokim. Even though the contents of the Maisa Merkava, which is a reference to a section in the book of Yechezkel, and there's also a corresponding Maisim Mekovah in the book of Yeshayahu. The contents of that section called Maisim Mekovah, the workings, the form of the heavenly Merkovah. Merkovah is a term that in other contexts would mean a chariot, that which one rides upon, from the word Rochev. There's a glorious heavenly Merkava. So that topic is not to be taught over, even to an individual. However, topic headings, Rosh Prokim, can be given over. Before we go further, we have a structural note on the side because of some markings that we will see shortly. We'll see the use of a volcano shape or trapezoid, and we've indicated here Sidra Shel Memros, the series of teachings, the Ein Moisrin, etc. Things, topics, information that you don't give over. And what topics are there? So we have a double underline highlighting the Rishima Shel Hadvarim Shein Mosrim, the list of things that we don't give over. So we see the Roshei Prokim is double underlined, and then Sisrei Torah, that's a term that's double underlined, and Rashi explains that what Sisrei Torah includes, the secrets of the Torah, and Divrei Torah, Lo'ovdei Kechavim. Now the Gemara. Omar Rebbe Zera, Ein Mosrin, Roshei Prokim, Elo Le'av Beisdin, Ulechol Mi Shelibo Doeg Bekirbo. The Roshei Prokim of the Maisei Merkava are not to be given over, taught over to someone other than the head of a court, or to anyone who is of a very serious type nature. That's Misha Libo Doig Bekirbo, one whose heart is full of concern in its midst. That means someone who's very serious, who's not guilty of kalus rosh, of lightheadedness. Iko Diamri, another version of this, to whom can the Roshei Prokim be given? It's an av based in vahu shelibo doeg bekirbo. In other words, you need two requirements. He has to be the head of a court, and he's also someone who has a very serious composure. Omar Rabbi Ami, ein moisrin sisrei Torah, elom lemi shiyesh bo chamisha dvorim. Let's glance at Rashi, sisrei Torah, in the upper part of the narrow lines. Rashi says, kagon maisa merkava, v'sefer yitzira u'maisa breishis. These different areas of study, the Maisa Merkava, the Sefer Yetzirah is the book of how the creation was made, and the Maisa Breishis, and Rashi says Vehi Breisa. It's a Tanaic source, and that is not to be given over other to, than someone that has the following five characteristics. Based on a Pasuk, Sar Chamishim Nusuponim, V'yoyitz V'chacham Choroshim Unavon Lochash. The Rashi points out that these will be discussed later on in the Gemara. We continue in the Gemara. V'yomar Rabbi Ami, in addition to Rabbi Ami's comment concerning Sisrei Torah, he also says, Ein Moisir Divrei Torah Li'ovdei Kechavim. Torah teachings, Torah topics, are not to be taught to idol worshippers. Shinemar lo oso chen l'chol goy umishpotim bal yidaum. The nations of the world are not to be informed of our Torah teachings. Omar le Rabbi Yochanan the Rabbi Elazar to admaroch the ma'isa hamerkava. Rabbi Yochanan offers to teach Rabbi Elazar the contents of ma'isa merkava. Omar le lo kashoy. So Rabbi Elazar, I'm not, kashoy literally means I'm not old enough. Rashi adds to this, I don't have the quality of libo doeg, the necessary level of seriousness that this demands. Ki kosh, when Rabbi Elazar in fact aged, noch nafshed Rabbi Yochanan passed away. Omale Rav Asi, Rav Asi tells turns to Rabbi Elazar and says, "To agmaroch the ma'isa merkava, allow me to teach you the contents of ma'isa merkava." Omar le, Rabbi Elazar said, "Izakoy, had I been worthy of it, gamirta Rabbi Yochanan Raboch, I would have learned it from Rabbi Yochanan, your teacher." But he felt that the hashgacha, the divine will in his case was such that he was not fit or deserving of learning Ma'isa Merkava. Rav Yosef Havagomir Ma'isa Merkava. Rav Yosef had learned this called this chapter, this text that we call Ma'isa Merkava. Savi de Pumbedisa, the elders of Pumbedisa, some of these are the name of a place. So the elders of Pumbedisa have Havutonu B'maisa Breishis. They had studied the Breisa concerning Maisa Breishis. Omru Lei. They, the Sabru B'Bubadisa, turned to Rav Yosef and said, Ligmor Lon Mor Maisa Merkava. Would you kindly teach us Maisa Merkava, that which Rav Yosef had known? Omar Lahu, he says to them, Agmarun Li Maisa Breishis. Well, I want you to teach me that which you learned, namely Maisa Breishis. Agmurua. They cooperated and they taught him what they had learned concerning Maisa Breishis. Boser de Agmurun, after they taught him, Omru le Ligmurun Mor B'Maisa Merkava. Now it's your turn, so to speak. Now teach us Maisa Merkava. Omar Lahu. So Rav Yosef was not fast in cooperating with them, and he said, Tanina Bahu, regarding Maisa Merkava, it says as follows. Now we have a number one. This is the first suggestion as to what is stated regarding Maisa Merkava in the context of not teaching it over. It says regarding Maisa Merkava, Dvash v'cholav tachas l'shonech. That's the pasuk, and the drosh is dvorim hamesukin midvash v'cholav, those areas that are sweeter than honey and milk. The idea being something that's very, very attractive, very drawing, like ma'isa merkava, sweeter than these substances, honey and milk. You tachas l'shanech, they shall remain under your tongue. In other words, you don't teach them over. Rabbi Yavo Omar Mehocha, number two, Rabbi Yavo says that the response that would be given to those that want to learn it and you are not to teach it is as follows. Kivosim lilavushecha. Now, the word kivosim literally is a reference to sheep, will be your clothing, means wool clothing, but we add al tikri kivosim, don't read it as kivosim, ela kivushim. Kivushim means something that's covered over, something that's hidden. Dvorim shehein kivshoinoi shel olam, those things that are the hidden matters of the world, you tachas levushecha, shall remain under your clothing. In other words, remain hidden. Omru lay, so the Tzabi, the Mubadisa, told Rav Yosef, taninon behu ad vayomer elai ben adam. Well, we've already learned until this pasuk, which is found in the second perek of Yechezkel, the second perek of the book of Ezekiel, and they said, we've learned up till that point. Omar lehu, hein hein maisa hamerkova. Well, if that's the case, if you've reached the second perek of Yechezkel, then you have covered the maisa merkova. The Rashi says, hein hein maisa merkova, imad kan shonisem. If you've learned up till that point, harbe shanisem, you've already learned a lot. Shishnei mikros halalu, the following two psukim shein vo'eire, ke'ena chashma v'chulei, ke'mara ha'keshes v'chulei, these psukim that Rashi's quoting, heim shekpidu aleim chachome milidor shom. It's those psukim that are in the first chapter of Yechezkel that the chachomim expressed their concern, their reticence to having be taught over. Shehein medabrim betzuras shchino mareo, because those psukim deal with the form, the appearance of the divine presence. Now, as we've mentioned already in the last couple of dapim, we're dealing with very, very esoteric, very mystical matters. And even to use the term, the form of, Rashi does use that word. However, it's to be understood as something far, far from something of any physical nature. So we're not dealing with any physicality, but rather some type of description of the divine presence, and that is something of such a holy and lofty nature, demanding of such ultimate respect, that that's what the Chazal did not want to have as the subject of discussion from one to another. So you have the Sabi Pumadisa responding to Rav Yosef, Sabi Bunsi had sought out Rav Yosef's teaching of Maisim Rekova, and they tell him, okay, you should know that we've learned up till Perek Beis. And Rav Yosef says, well, if that's the case, you don't really need me so much, because you've already learned the main topics that there is resistance to teaching over anyway. Meisvei, we raise a question, and the question is as follows. The essence of the question is that Rav Yosef told them that all of the first paragraph, the first chapter of Yechezkel, up till this posik of Vayomer Elai Ben Adam, all of that constitutes Maisim Merkava. We're going to be asking, really? Is it all of that? Isn't it actually much less than all of that? Isn't it so that the Iker Maisim Merkava, the main Maisim Merkava, ends earlier than that? So that Rav Yosef was giving us the impression that the Maisim Merkava, that topic known as Maisim Merkava, lasts till the second chapter of Yechezkel, when this Tanaic source indicates that Maisim Merkava per se ends earlier. Meisvei, ad heichon Maisa HaMerkava, up till what point is Maisim Merkava? Rebbe Omer, ad vo'ere ke'en chashmal basra, up till the second statement of I perceived that which appears as chashmal. We'll see later, chashmal is the name of a certain type of spiritual body. And Rabbi Yitzchak Omer, ad ha-chashmal. Rashi explains, ad Vo'ere ke'ein hachashma v'lo hu b'chlal, up till but not including, and ad hachashma, Rashi says, ad hatevo hazu v'hi b'chlal lidrush. There's a minor difference of opinion, but what we must point out, though, is as follows, that the Maisa Merkava per se doesn't last up till the second chapter of Yechezkel, as Rav Yosef suggested, but rather it ends within the first chapter. The Gemara answers, Ad vo'era, until that pasuk, magmirinon, mikan v'elich masrinon roshei prokim. Rashi says, Ad vo'era migmar gamrinon, klomar hochi ko'omar. Ad heichon maisa merkova she nitnu lidrosh. Up till what point is maisa merkova that one is allowed to teach over? Ad vo'ere. O ad hachashmal. Because up till that early point, we can say one is allowed to teach. Umisham ad vayomer. But from that point until vayomer in the second chapter, hein hein maisa merkava shekpidu aleim hachomim. That is the section that the chachomim did not want to have taught over. So we turn back to the Gemara. We continue Iko Diamri. Another approach to this is Ad Vo'ere, until Vo'ere, which is a reference to that pasuk in the first chapter, Masrinon Roshei Prokim, Mikan V'Elech. But beyond that point, again, Roshei Prokim we saw earlier, that has to do with topic headings, not actual detail, but titles, mikan ve'ech, but from vo'era onwards, imhu chacham maven midaito in, if you're dealing with someone that is wise and understands things on his own, then you can continue teaching, ilo lo, but more than that, no. The Gemara asks, umi darshinon b'chashmal, do we at all teach over regarding this entity concerning called referred to as chashmal? The ha hahu yenuka, there was a youngster, the dorash b'chashmal, that lectured on the topic of chashmal, the nofik nura mechashmal v'achalte, and a bolt of fire emanated from chashmal and consumed this young person. The Gemara says that doesn't show that one cannot darshan in general. Shiny yenuka, the case of the child is different. Delo motu moti zimne. Dalav orach ara didorish. He was young, and it's not honorable to have someone so young lecturing on the topic of chashmal, and that's why he was punished. Omar Rav Yehuda Marav Bram. Bram means in truth. Zachur oisai ha'ish letov. Let us remember the memory of this man in positive terms. V'chananya ben Chizkiya shmoi. We're recounting the memory of Hananya ben Chizkiya, she'ilmole, who, if not for him, Nignaz Sefer Yechezkel. Sefer Yechezkel would have been put out of circulation. There are statements in that book, in the prophet of Yechezkel, in the topic concerning sacrifices, that would appear to contradict information learned in the Torah itself, in the five books of Moses. And that's what the Gemara means when it says Shehayu Dvarov Soisrim Divrei Torah. The teachings in Yechezkel contradict teachings in the Torah itself. Ma Osa. So what did Hananya ben Chizkiya do? Olal Aliyah. He went up to an attic. Vehelu Lo Lisham. And they brought up to him over there Shlosh Meos Garve Shemen, 300 flasks of oil. Oil is the fuel for candles. The Yoshav Valiyah Vidarsho, and he sat there and eventually resolved. He explained the difficulties in Yechezkel at resolving what we termed before contradictions. Tanu Rabbanan, Maisa Betinok Echot Shekuri Beveis Rabo Besefi Yecheskel. There was an incident of a child sitting in his teacher's house reading the book of Yecheskel Yomevin V'Chashmal. And he understood this topic. V'yotza Eish M'Chashmal V'Sorfoso. And a fire emanated from Chashmal and burned him. U'bikshu Lignos Sefer Yecheskel. And the idea to put away, to bury, put out of circulation the book of Yecheskel came to the fore. Omar Lahem Hananya ben Chizkiah. So Hananya said, "Im ze chacham kulam chachamim hein." If this particular child was brilliant and he understood Chashmal, and basically it's a topic that one should not delve into, and he did, that doesn't mean that the book of Yecheskel is dangerous for our all other children like that. So even though there was this one time incident of the child being consumed, it's not reason enough to put the Sefer Yecheskel out of circulation. My Chashmal, what is that? Omar Rav Yudah. We continue at the top of Omid Beis. Chashmal is an abbreviation of Chayos Eish Memalolois. Rashi at the top says, Chayos Eish Memalolois, Eish Yoytzei Mediburon. These are holy spiritual entities that when they speak, fire comes forth. Tana, Itim Choshois Itim Memalois. The Brisa, actually, let's just read that line again from the top in the middle of the line. B'masnisa tana, in the following Tanaic source, we have a second presentation that Chashmal is an abbreviation of the following: itim choshos, itim memalolos. Sometimes they are silent, these spiritual entities, and sometimes they speak. When the Almighty speaks, they remain silent. And when the Almighty is not speaking, they do. On the side of our Gemara, we have a topic heading, and we indicate ad soif ha'amud, until the bottom of this page, tiurim shomayimim shel malochim v'chayes ha'kodesh. We have descriptions of heavenly descriptions of angels and other holy creatures. As we've said many times in our recent shiurim, we're dealing with very, very esoteric topics, way beyond the realm of deep understanding of the Gemara markings Daf Yomi shiur. So bear with us as we continue with a very superficial approach to a topic that deserves a much more serious level of treatment. The pasuk in Yecheskel in Perek Aleph says, "V'chayos rotzoi v'shoiv kemara habozok." Rashi on the top line, "Rotzoi v'shoiv, v'tzius roshan mitachs rakia." Their heads emerge forth from under the firmament, hanotui lamalo meirashen. V'chozos u'machnisos oison mimura shchina v'mehirus. These are heavenly creatures, heavenly spiritual entities, have their head poke out from under the covering, and then they return their heads out of fear of the divine presence, and all of this happens very rapidly. That's karitza v'shiva shalav ayotz mipi abozek, like the flames that emerge forth from the bozek. And we'll explain a little more of that as we go on in the Gemara. My rotzoi v'shoiv, the Gemara asks. In the pasuk we say, saw the chayos of rotzoi v'shoiv. What does that mean? Omar of Yudah, ke'ur hayotz mipi akivshan. It's like tongues of fire that come forth from a furnace. My kemara abozek. The appearance of bozok. What do you mean by that? Omar of Yosef Bachanina, keor hayoytse mibein hacharosim. It's like the flames that come forth from between the earthen shards, or earthenware vessels that are used in purifying gold. And Rashi gives a detailed description of this, where this a kli cheres, an earthenware vessel that has full of holes, is placed over coals on which there is gold, and the intense fire helps to purge the gold of any dross, and the tongues of fire are emitted forth from these holes in the earthenware vessel covering this fire setup. The Pasuk says, again from the first parak of Yechezkel, and the Novi says, and I saw v'nei ruach sora ba min hatzafon, a storm came forth from the north. And from the north is a reference to Bavel. Bavel is described as being north of Eretz Yisrael. So, and I saw a storm coming forth, onon golov eshemis lakachas, a large cloud and fire burning, the nogalo soviv, and there was a glow surrounding it, umitocha ke'ena chashmal mitocha esh. That's the posuk. My boy Hossam, what was this cloud full of fire doing over there in Bavel? Omar Rav Yehuda, Omar Rav, Shaholach lichboish es kol olam kulo tachas Nebuchadnezzar rosha. This force that the Novi was visualizing was a force that would enable the king Nebuchadnezzar, the mortal Babylonian emperor Nebuchadnezzar, the wicked one, to conquer the entire world. So that this heavenly force is that which enabled him to, in fact, conquer the world. The Chol Kach Loma, and why? Why did he merit having this this power to conquer the world? And now the Gemara reveals a very, very significant point that has very far-reaching historical ramifications. Shelo Yomru Umos Ha'olam. Now, Nebuchadnezzar was the one that destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, and he conquered the nation of Israel. It's true that the Almighty intended to punish the Jewish people. But even in punishing the Jewish people, notice the mercy and the concern of the Almighty with His chosen people. He could have the Jewish people vanquished by a bunch of bushmen, primitive armies wielding clubs and machetes, or if they need to be punished, they'd be punished by a vast world power. So that even though there's punishment, the following illustrates the Almighty's continued concern for the honor of the Jewish people. And the Gemara explains, the reason Nebuchadnezzar was granted control over the world, again, Nebuchadnezzar, the one who would vanquish the Jewish people, they destroy the temple and send the rest of the Jews into exile, Shelo Yomru Umos Ha'olam, so that the nations of war shouldn't say, Biyad Umos Shvelu Mosar Kodesh Baruch Hu's Bonov, into the hands of a lowly nation, the Almighty gave over His people. And historically, this appears to be the rule. The Nebuchadnezzar, yes, he defeated the Jewish people, but he was a world emperor. The Roman Empire, destroyed the second temple under Titus, but they were in fact a world power. Years later, the Spanish Inquisition, at that time, Spain, for many, many years leading up to the exiling of the Jews from the Spanish Empire. The Spanish at that time were world leaders. They had at that time the control of a large part of the Jewish world. And in more recent history, the Germans let their memory be blotted out. they were a world power. So that even though the Kodesh Baruch Hu was punishing the Jewish people, he does so with a formidable, awesome type regime, and not through some lowly primitives. Omar HaKodesh Baruch Hu. And here the Kodesh Baruch Hu, the Almighty, expresses his exasperation. Mi goram li she'a shamosh li'oyvdei psilim. Who caused me to, in effect, be like a servant of idol worshippers? In other words, the Almighty is saying, I had to serve Nebuchadnezzar and increase his power and strength in order to allow him to become the force to vanquish the Jewish people. So I have to become his servant to enable him to accomplish this and that. What was it that caused that? Essentially, Israel Hengormuli. It's the sins of Israel that forced me, so to speak, into this undesirable position. The pasuk says, "Vo'era." The Novi Yecheskel says, "Vo'era achayis v'nei oifen echod boretz eitzel achayis." The word ofan is also a reference to a spiritual being, and here we have a couple of approaches. Omar Belozer, Malach Echad Shu'oimei Boretz. What the Novi was describing was a Malach, an angel that stands on the ground. V'roshim Magi Eitzel HaChayos, and the head of this angel reaches all the way up to near the Chayos, those other spiritual beings. V'Masnisa Tona Samach Nun Shmo. This is in the name of an angel. There's a tradition among some people not to pronounce names of angels that aren't, in fact, commonly used names. And so here's an example of that. V'gavoa mechavero malach chomesh meos shana. And he's higher than the one next to him, 500 years of travel. V'oimed achorei amerkova. And this angel stands behind the heavenly chariot. V'kosher ksorim lekono. And he prepares crowns for his master, for the divine presence. The Gemara asks, "Eini, is that possible that you have a malach as great as he might be that knows where the divine presence is actually located?" V'oksiv baruch kevoid Hashem mimakoymoi. Blessed be the Almighty from wherever He is. The pasuk would indicate that no one knows where the honor, the glory of the Almighty is located. So we have a problem here. The one source indicates he is preparing crowns for the Creator, knowing where the Creator is, and here otherwise. Now, the Bach has in the Os Gimel, if we look down the lower part of the page, we've underlined what we're going to read instead of the text in our Gemara. We replace that with the following. We've underlined it, so you can see, Ela de Koshar Le Lekeser. Now, this Malach, the Samach Nun Malach, he prepares a crown, Umashbia B'Shem HaMeforash, and then he utters the ineffable holy name, V'yazal Taga V'yosev B'Duchlein. Then this crown flies on its own and reaches the necessary destination. But not that the Malach actually knows where the divine presence is located. Once again, I know that we're sounding terribly repetitious, but this is such a fearsome type topic where the necessary holiness that must be accorded is really highly demanding, and therefore we simply repeat that when we speak in terms of in physical terms, location, he is here, he is there. These are ideas that are very, very hard to apply to the divine presence, and yet we have to translate, because that's all we really have at hand. Realizing at the same time that we're using words of a physical nature, time and place are elements that are associated with our mortal physical lives, when in fact they don't exist in the spiritual realm as such. Nevertheless, we continue in the Gemara. Omar Rava, Kol Shiro Yechezkel Ro Yeshaya. All that the prophet Yechezkel saw through his prophetic visions, the prophet Yeshaya, prophet Isaiah, also saw. There's a Rashi that we ought to look at together in the upper part of the, about a third of the way from the top, Ro'o Yeshaya, Kishishosol of Ruach HaKodesh, when Yeshaya was enveloped by the divine presence, he saw that which Yechezkel also saw. Now Yeshaya, by the way, historically was early, was many years before Yechezkel. Kemosh Neemar, the Pasuk in Yeshaya, describes a vision similar to that which we see described by Yechezkel. It says, "Where is Hashem Yoshev al Kisei Rom v'Nisa v'chulei?" In the sixth parak, the sixth chapter of Yeshaya, you see that. Elosh shelo chosh lefarsh sakol, but we don't find the prophet Isaiah detailing as much as Yechezkel detailed matters. How does one explain the difference between the two, where one gets involved with all the details and the other not? Shahoya, so now we'll read the Rashi, which serves as an introduction to the Gemara. Shahoya ben Melochim, the god of Apaltin. He was a descendant of kings who grew up in a palace. Uben krach harayas hamelech enu nival. A man who grows up in the large, Ben Krach is a large city that in which the king lives. So when he sees the king, he doesn't become all excited. Veinu toma, veinu chosh l'shap saper. For him, it's an ordinary occurrence. It's a common occurrence. So therefore, when he says that he saw the king, he doesn't explain all the details of what he saw. However, Yechezkel was not like that. And therefore, when he had this divine vision, he became very excited and offered much more detail. So now, well, let's read this in the Gemara. Lema Yechezkel Doime, what is Yechezkel? What to what can he be compared? Leben Kfar Shiros Hamelch, to a village dweller that saw the king. Ulama Yeshaya Doime, and Yeshaya is comparable to what? Leben Krach Shiros Hamelch, to a city dweller that sees the king. The village dweller rarely sees the king, and when he does, becomes a very big event. And in describing it, the teller will detail it, as opposed to Yeshaya, who is viewed as the Ben Krach, who saw the divine presence on a much more, say, frequent basis, and hence he details it much less. Omar Reish Lakish, my dichtiv, Shiru Lashem ki ga'o ga'o ga'o. This is a pasuk, of course, from the Oz Yoshir, Parshas Beshalach. What is the expression ki ga'o ga'o? Shiru shira lemi shemizgor al hageim. This is a song to he who is exalted above the exalted. The Omar Mar. And here we have a description of the exaltedness of the Almighty, and we build up here. Melech shebechayas ari, the king of animals is the lion. Melech sheba behemas shor, the king of domesticated animals is the ox. Melech sheba oifos nesher, the king of birds, of winged creatures, is the eagle. The odom misgoa alein, and man rules over all of them, is exalted above all of the animal kingdom. Vakodesh Baruch Hu misgoa al kulon v'al kol olam kulon, and the Almighty is exalted above all of them and above the entire universe. As we go on, we have a new marking, and on the side under the Mivneh, the structural note, we also indicate that this marking scheme will continue till Daf Yud Dalet Amud Aleph, till the next Omid, where we introduce with the diamond the expression Kosev Echad, etc. As you look at each diamond, you'll also see a succeeding underline where Ha'alos stiros, the Gemara will be presenting what appears to be contradictions between psukim, between different psukim, v'yishuvam, and the eventual resolution. So as you skim down the page, you can see on this omid, another three of them, and the marking, as we say, continues to the next omid. Kosev echad oimer, one pasuk says, U'tumus pneam pnei odam, u'pnei aryeh, el hayamin l'arbosan, we're describing again a very esoteric entity, an image that exists in the heavens that has it's one image that has four faces to it. And for our purposes, we have to focus simply on what we've dashed underlined. One of the faces mentioned is the face of an ox. Uksiv, and in another place, it says, Varbo ponim. Le'echod, pneo echod, pneo kruv, pneo sheni, pneo odom, ashlishi, pneo aryeh, lorvi, pneo nesher. So there are four different faces featured here. V'ilu shor, lo kochoshiv le, but amongst these four in this other pasuk, the shor is not mentioned. So is the shor one of the four faces of this divine entity or not? Omer ish lakish, yecheskel bikesh olav rachamim. The prophet prayed concerning the presence of an ox face on this, as part of this entity, v'hafchoi l'kruv, and through his prayers it was changed into the face of a cherub. Omar Lefonov, and what motivated Yechezkel to do thusly, or we could say what bothered Yechezkel by having the face of an ox up there? Now, the ox is associated with a cow, which is associated with a calf, which we know in the context of the golden calf. A major national calamity that befell the Jewish people in their service of this idolatrous entity, the golden calf. And the prophet Yechezkel said, Ribbono Shelom, Ein kategor nasa senegor. It's not possible, it's not fitting to have that which is of a prosecuting nature, the shore slash golden calf image, there as a prosecutor when we need it as a sanegor, as a defense mechanism. In other words, and here Rashi says that when we daven, we try to, let's say, enlist this entity as an ally in praying on behalf of our needs. We have to be very careful in how we phrase this. We're not praying, God forbid, to this entity, but we're rather trying to enlist this entity to join us in our prayers to the Almighty to provide us with mercy. The only element that exists that could provide mercy is the Almighty Himself, nothing else. But nevertheless, we do enlist the other forces to intervene on our behalf in order to elicit this mercy from the Almighty. And we look in Rashi, Kategor, Nasas, Sanegor, Onut, Srichim. We need Shivakshu Markavoisecho Leinu Rachamim. We need this heavenly being to seek mercy on our behalf. A short category, the ox represents something of an attacking, prosecuting nature. Therefore, it's not possible. It's certainly impractical, to say the least. It's to our detriment to have an image of a shore on your heavenly throne. My kruv, we mentioned that the shore image was turned into a kruv, which we use the term cherub. But what is kruv? What is it? What's behind the word? Omer of Yavo, kravya. Kruv is associated with kravya. She came to Bavel, currently Anuka Ravya. In the Babylonian tongue, a child, a baby, is referred to by the word ravya. So it's an image that has, we'll say, a baby face. Omar le Rav Papa la Abaye. Elta, well, with this interpretation that Kruv is a reference to a to human face, just a baby face. The Elameato Dichtiv, the Pasuk says, Peneho Echad, Pene HaKruv, Pene HaSheni, Pene Adam, Vashlishi Pene Aryeh, Voravi Pene Nesher. Now, here we've not underlined two words, Kruv and Adam, but this Pasuk describes four faces. But how do you get the four? Hainu Pene Kruv, Hainu Pene Adam. If the Kruv is described as Ravya, as a baby face, it's a person, it's a human face. So you only have three. So the Gemara answers, Adam a Kruv Chadu, it's true that man and a Kruv are both human entities. However, Api Ravavi va Api Zutri. One is an adult, a large Ravi, a large face. The other was a small face. So as far as the number of faces are concerned, there are four faces. As far as the number of species are concerned, so maybe you could say there are three. Kosev Echad Omer, and here again we raise what appears to be a contradiction. One pasuk says, Sheish Kenofayim Le'echad. This is part of Yeshaya's Maisa Merkava. The angels are described as being six winged creatures, each one six wings. V'kosev echad omer, and the pasuk in Yecheskel's Ma'aseh Merkava. We pointed out earlier that Yeshaya preceded Yecheskel by many years, and in the Yecheskel pasuk, and maybe we want to add that Yecheskel also was a Novi that lived at the time of the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash. He was exiled to Babylonia. So in his pasuk it says, "Ve'arbo ponim le'echon li'achas ve'arba knafayim li'achas lehem." Only four wings. So how do we resolve this? The Yeshaya angel is portrayed as having six wings, and the Yecheskel angel having only four. Lo kasha, no contradiction. Kan bisman she beis hamikdash kayim. Kan bisman she beis hamikdash kayim. The six wings is when the beis hamikdash was still extant. The four wings is when the beis hamikdash is no longer standing. Kiviyachol, it's as if to say shenismatu kanfei achayis. It's an imagery suggesting that with the destruction of the temple, even the heavenly beasts, the heavenly holy creatures, have been reduced. So it went from six to four. Hey minayu, in which set of wings? When you speak about six wings, we're talking about three sets of two wings. So which ones were reduced? Omar Chanano, Omar Rav, Oison Shoimos Shiro Bahen. It's the wings through which the Malochim recite their song and praise. And how does Rav Chanano know that? Dichtiv Hochot says, here Ubishtayim Yoifeif, Vikora Ze El Ze Vyomar. And Yoifeif has to do with the fluttering of wings. And with the fluttering of two wings, there that results in the pronouncement of Shira. Uksvikosiv, uksiv hasam, and it says elsewhere, Hatoif einecha boi ve'einenu. See the word Hatoif, similar to the root of Yoifeif. Here we see, and they are no longer. So that the two wings that used to be responsible for Shira, those are the ones that departed. Hence you have the drop from six to four. For Rabbanan Amri, a second approach, Oysan Shemachasis Bein Raglayim. It's the two wings that, the lower wings that cover the feet of these angels. Shenemar V'Raglayim Regel Yeshora. Yecheskel describes the appearance of the feet of the angels. They have a straight foot. Vilav Dimut, if it wasn't those that became reduced, in other words, that in the time of Yeshaya, the feet of the angels were covered by the two lower wings. And by the time of Yecheskel, those two foot covering wings were no longer. Now, if they weren't reduced, if they weren't removed, Mino Hu Yoda, how would Yecheskel have known the look of the foot of the angels? So as we just say, this would be the indication of the lower wings as the ones that departed. The Gemara says, how is this convincing? Dilma de Igloi v'chazilei Not because... How do you see from here that they were eliminated? Maybe they fluttered open and they revealed. The legs of the angels were revealed. And at that point, Yechezkel saw it. Dilo teimahachi, if you don't accept this approach, the Pasuk says, Udmus peneim penei adam. A description of the face of the angels is that of man. Hachi, nami, deimut, are you going to say that those were also... that those were also reduced, eliminated. Ela digloi, regarding the face, it's the wings opened up and exposed the face. And he saw it. V'chazilei, and he saw the face and was able to describe it. So hochanami, so too regarding the feet. The igloi, v'chazilei. They opened, the wings expanded and opened, and that enabled the prophet to see the form of their foot. So at this point, then it would appear that we don't have some proof to what the Rabbanan said. Gemara responds: Ochi hashta, how can you compare that which we said regarding the face to that which we say regarding the feet? Hasam bishlamo ape, regarding the face of the angels and the ability of the prophet to see that. Orach ara ligluye kame rabe. It's proper etiquette, proper behavior for one to expose one's face in front of his master. So the angel, in the presence of the divine spirit, would expose, open its wings, expose its face. That's part of normal, proper procedure. Kar e, however, when it comes to feet, lav orach ara ligluye kame rabe. It's not proper etiquette, proper behavior to reveal your feet in front of your master. So how could then the prophet have noticed the image of the feet? So as we said before, that it's those lower wings that were reduced. This is an interesting concept that might have also, say, practical halachic ramifications. We're not taking a stand, because when it comes to Gemara markings, Shirim, we never impose or profess to issue halachic rulings, but nevertheless, just by way of halachic thinking, here you see a statement that when you're in front of the master, and we can say in practical halacha terms, when you're standing as a shliach tzibur leading the congregation in prayer services, it might be said the same idea, that one who is standing as shliach tzibur is also, in a sense, omed kame rabbe. He's standing in front of the master, and there are many sources for us to base that on. He too should not be bare-legged, so that to have a shliach tzibur leading the services certainly barefoot would be unacceptable. And then the issue comes out, what about a shliach tzibur wearing short pants? Or wearing, sandals without stockings. All of these are topics that one could see are worthy of attention when it comes to this concept of not being honorable to stand with exposed legs in front of the Creator. We continue. Kosev Echad Omer, one pasuk says, Elef Alofin Yisham Shunei Ribo Rivivon Kadmoye Yekumun. For Kosev Echad Omer Hayesh Mispor LeGedudav. So the first pasuk indicates a number of those that stand in service in front of the Almighty. A very large number, but a number is given. The second pasuk says, is there any number? It's an expression of, you can't even assign a number to their multitudes. Lo kashya, no, there isn't a contradiction here. Kan bizman she beis hamikdash kayam, kan bizman she ein beis hamikdash kayam. When the beis hamikdash was around, so it was an almost limitless number of service entities, spirits that were in front of the divine presence. But after the destruction of the beis hamikdash, then it became, it was reduced, although quite a large number, but something still lending itself to be counted, as opposed to something limitless. Kviyachol, this is as if to say Shinismata Pamalya Shamala, that through the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, there was also a type of reduction that took place in the heavenly force. We should point out we have a double underline that we just encountered, and now another one on the side of them under the Mivneh heading. These double underlines represent Gimel Hityachsuyot, three approaches, La Psukim, the Daniel Zion, the Eov Chofei, the Psukim that we just mentioned, the heavenly forces with a number, and the Pasuk indicating numberless. So we have now another approach to that. Tanya, Rebbe Omer Mishum Abba Yossi Ben Soi. Rebbe, in the name of Abba Yossi, says, Elef Alfin Yisham Shune Mispar Gedud Echad. In one troop of angels, so there were Elef Alfin. The other Pasuk, which spoke about something being numberless, Ule Gedudov, Ein Mispar, but the number of troops, that's numberless. Unlimited. Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Abba Omar, Elef Alofen Yishamshune, that is Lenahar Dinor. That is with reference to the Dinor River. Now this Dinor River is again a spiritual entity that's described in the following Pasuk Shneemar, Nahar Dinor Nogeid V'Nofek Min Kadmoi. The Dinor River flows forth from in front of me. Elef alofen yishamshune v'ribo rivavon kadmo yekumun. So that the pasuk of Elef alofen yishamshune is associated with these spiritual bodies that are connected with this particular river. Meheha nofik, from where does this river emanate? Mize oson shel chayos, from the sweat of the holy beasts. Ulehechon shofich, and what is its destination? Into what does the river empty? Does it spill into? Omarav zutra bartuvi omarav al roish rishoyim beganim, onto the heads of the wicked in purgatory. Shinemar hine saras Hashem chemo yotza v'sar mischil al roish rishoyim yachul. From Abba bar Yankiv Omar al asher kumtu, we were asking. Where does the river Dinor flow? So Rav Zutra told us one pshat, onto the heads of the wicked in purgatory, and Rav Acha tells us another pshat. It falls onto the heads of the Asher Kumtu. Rashi, Al Asher Kumtu, we're looking at Rashi toward the end of the Omid. Al, and there's a number here, 974, Doros, the 974 generations, Shehevir Min Oilam Kodem Matan Torah, Velo Boron. This is a very difficult topic to describe, but the Almighty had, we'll say, in a plan that was never carried out. There was this plan of 974 generations that were not brought into being, and he cast them away, cast them out of the world before the giving of the Torah, v'lo bar on, and didn't bring them into actual existence. You have something of potential and actual. Kiriptoni l'kamon, v'nosnon begehenim. Now, this phrase of Rashi is difficult. It's not. It's and the Tosfos on Daf Yudalid on Medalav Dim Rasa Vitardan. He deals with the difficulty here, but nevertheless, these 974 generations were placed in Gehenna, Valeam Noifel, and upon them this river flows. Shenemar Bohen Nahar Yutzak Yisoidom Vainu Nahar Dinor Shemutzak Aleam. The Nahar Dinor that falls, that flows upon them. Now we go back to the Gemara. Rav Acha Bar Yankiv says that the Nahar Dinor falls onto the Asher Kumtu. Shenemar Asher Kumtu Velo Eis Nahar Yutzak Yisoidom. Now we have a numbering system here. Number one appears here on the side of the Gemara under the Mivneh heading, the structural note. We indicate that one and two represent Shnei Gishois, two approaches, Lahasbir Hodichti B'Iov Asher Kumtu, referring to this particular pasuk from Iov. Two approaches. So we continue in the Gemara. Omri B'Shimon HaChosid, The Asher Kumtu is Elu Chameos Veshivim V'Arbadoros, the 974 generations. Shekumtu Liboros. Rashi says Kumtu Liboros. Nigzru Liboros. Loshen V'Takmeteni La'ad Hoyom. There was a plan, as we said, to create them. So we continue in the source. We continue at the top of Yud Dalid Omen Aleph. Koidem Shnivra Olam Velo Nivru. There was a gzeira. There was a plan to have them created, but they were not created in actuality. Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu V'shoslan B'chol Dor V'dor. The Almighty then took members of these 974 generations and planted a few of them in each generation. V'heinein Aze Ponim Shebedor. These are the crude, coarse, and bold individuals that you see in every generation. Rashi at the top says, "Kodem Shinivra Olam, Nigzar Liboros, Lios Kodem Atatora." There was this idea to have 974 additional generations created before the giving of the Torah to fulfill that which it says, "Davar Tziva Le'elef Dor," that the Torah was commanded to be given, after 1,000 generations. Ruihoi Satorah Le'nosein L'Sof Elef Dor. The Torah was fit to be given only after 1,000 generations. Shiroshin Olam is Kayim below Torah, oh my Vitar, then when the Almighty realized that the world would not last without Torah, he then decided to rid the world of them. Vinosna L'Soif Chof of Doros. And at the end, the Torah was given after a mere 26 generations. Me'odim Arishon Ad Moshe Rabbeinu. If you count the generations, and you can do so by following the names mentioned in the Chumash, from Adam, from Odom Arishon until Moshe Rabbeinu, there were 26 generations. Moshe Rabbeinu representing the time of the giving of the Torah. It's quite interesting, though, that you see that these 974 generations would have represented some very unseemly individuals, bold, coarse, unmerciful, harsh individuals. And what the source tells us is that they do exist, but in small numbers, but in every generation. And it should therefore come as no surprise that when one sees, whether in leadership positions or in communal settings, people that are just very harsh, very hard to deal with, it could very well be that their souls come from what's described over here, the Azeponim, whose roots are from those 974 generations. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok Omar Asher Kumtu Livrocha Hu Dichtiv. The reference to the Asher Kumtu is actually something that is of a blessing in nature. Dichtiv, or Elu Tamidei Chachamim. It's a reference to the Torah scholars She Mekamtin Es Atzmon Mishino Al Divrei Torah B'Olam Hazeh. They Mekamtin has to do with something that's folded over. They resist sleeping in this world in order to study Torah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Megala Lehem Soid L'Olam Haba. They merit, therefore, the revelation of a great secret in the world to come. Shnemar Nahar Yitzak Yesoidom. The word Yesoidom here is based on the word So, the great divine secret that's revealed to them in the world to come. Omar Le Shmuel L'Chia Barav. Bar Arya, son of a wise man. See, Shmuel's addressing the son of the great Amor Rav. He says, "To em aloch milso, come and I will tell you mehani mili ma'isodav Omar avuch." So I will tell you something that one of many wonderful things that your father used to say. Kol yoyma v'yoyma nivroin malachi hashores min ardenor. Every day, angels are created from this heavenly river, the Dinur River. V'amri shira, they recite praise and song ubatli, and then they cease to exist. Shenemar chadoshim livkorim rabo emunasecha. In other words, every day, the creation of new angels, and then their disappearance. Upliga Rav Shmuel bar Nachmeni, and this approach is at odds with the approach taken by Rav Shmuel Nachmeni. And Tosfos says we just said that the malachim are created from the Nahar Dinor, but you'll see Rav Shmuel mentions they're created from the speech of the Almighty. The Gemara says, "The Omar of Shmuel bar Nachmeni, Omar of Yonison, called Dibor v'Dibor Shiotzim Epi Hakadosh Baruch Hu, from every speech that comes forth from the Almighty, Nivra Mimenu Malach Echad, and a new angel is created. Shnemar B'Dvar Hashem Shomnayim Naasu Beruach Piv Kol Tzvaom, and from the breath of his mouth, all of the heavenly hosts." As you can see, structurally, the Gemara continues with raising seeming contradictions in Psukim and their subsequent resolution. But at this point, before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our Shiur for today.